Just a couple of weeks ago, we had the Feast of Pentecost, a holy day that showed and represented a step in God's plan. And one thing that was brought out and mentioned, and it's a focus of that day, is the receiving of God's Holy Spirit. It's a precious gift that is vital for guidance in this life. It is necessary for our salvation. And we receive the Holy Spirit through repentance and baptism and laying on of hands. I want to go back and read the story just as an introduction in Acts of Pentecost. So let's go to Acts 2 as we start off here. And we'll review this story. Some of this was brought out on Pentecost, but we'll review the story about the Holy Spirit coming to the new church at that time and a sermon that Peter gave as well. Let's go to Acts 2 and verse 22. Don't need to turn back there, but in Acts 2 verse 1, it does say that this was on the day of Pentecost. But starting in verse 22, we're going to read this story as an introduction to our topic today. Acts 2:22 says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and sign which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God." It says you, this is speaking to the crowd, "you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." So they're saying this thing happened, and that the people then in which we can put ourselves in that situation are responsible for Christ's death. We'll continue on in verse 36. Acts 2 verse 36 says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Jesus, both Lord and Christ." So now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. So they don't know what to do. And they say to Peter, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We are guilty, is what they're saying. We deserve death. What do we do? Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So yes, you messed up. You're a sinner, is what he was saying. But this is what you need to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to repent. We're going to get baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and move forward. And that's what they did. Continuing on in verse 41. It says, "Then those who gladly received his word, they were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers." So things are good. They're moving forward. It says, "Then the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So it was a new beginning. A new beginning. We have a group there. They realize they're sinners, they're baptized, and they're moving forward. Things are good. Things are good. They're going to follow God in his ways. Follow Jesus Christ. If you want to flip over to Acts 8. Acts 8 and verse 1. All of a sudden, some things start to happen. And in chapter 7, Stephen, a deacon in the congregation, is killed. And in Acts 8, verse 1, it says, "At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered." They were scattered. This group of people, things were going well, and then things started to happen. It got bad, and they were scattered. Then the rest of the Bible, the New Testament, much of that is letters to the churches, wherever they are. They're scattered throughout the world, and it's guiding people because they're having problems. They're having issues. Some people are falling away. What they had at that time, right at the end of Acts 2, seemed in a distant past, and some had forgotten that. Well, we see this today. Us people, they're excited about God's word. They know that they're guilty of sin, repent, and get baptized. And then us as well, we go out into the world. We're scattered out there. And then difficulties come. Things come up in our life. Time happens. That could make you or me leave or forget. And that's not what we want. Right? We want to hold on to that. There's been several people counseled for baptism recently. And a question that comes up in those counselings is, what would pull you away? What would pull you away? When you have this zeal, well, what is that thing? What thing could make you or me forget or leave? Again, that's not what we want. We want to hold on to God's Holy Spirit, that precious gift that was given to us, and be part of God's plan and serve Him for the rest of our lives here and into eternity. And all that starts with God's Holy Spirit. Today I want to discuss a parable that gives us insight to that question. What would pull you away? Or what would pull me away? That parable is the parable of the sower. And it lists out four options for us. Three that we want to avoid and one where we want to be. Possibilities for you and me as we go through life. What happens to us when we receive the Holy Spirit at that high point and then are scattered into life? So let's start by reading this parable, the parable of the sower. Let's turn over to Matthew 13. We will be flipping back to Matthew 13 several times. So I would suggest putting a marker there so you can get back to it easily. Matthew 13 and verse 1. And we'll start by reading this parable. It says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." In verse 3 says, "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Saying it's important to hear this. And these parables, they're like riddles almost. They're metaphors. And in verse 10, the question came up. The disciples say to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Verse 16 says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." It says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower." Again, this is important to know. It's saying, pay attention. This is Jesus Christ saying, pay attention to what I'm saying. So let's go through this. And our next point, we'll break it right down there, was some seed fell by the wayside. Some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. That was from Matthew 13, verse 4. Now with this particular parable, there's an explanation also given to us that helps us understand what's being said. So if you go down to Matthew 13, verse 19, it gives us an explanation of this point. Matthew 13 and verse 19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." So they hear it, don't understand it, and then lose interest. Now these points can apply to anyone, really, to a group or to an individual. This first point, I would like to focus maybe on those who are not baptized yet. Maybe a young person, a teen, or who are still thinking about this whole way of life. In any congregation, about a third of the congregation is not baptized. So it applies to a majority, a big group in any room. Jesus said in another parable, "Many are called, but few are chosen." That's out of Matthew 22. People hear it, and it just doesn't sink in. Doesn't sink in. I want to start by making a point that you are being called. If you're hearing these words, you're being called. If you're a child or a teen, you are being called. We already read that in Acts 2, verse 39. But maybe it's not sinking in. You hear it, think, "I don't know about this. What do I do?" What do you do? Let's turn over to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6, it gives us something to do if we're in that situation. Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So it's saying pray about it. You have an issue? Not sure about something? Go to God. Ask him. And it's saying that that peace of God, that understanding, is something that can be granted by God. So step out. Take that step. Pray to God for understanding. It is okay to say, "I'm confused. I'm not sure about this." I assure you that you're not the only one who feels that way now or has felt that way at some point in their life. Everybody goes through that. Another thing that can be done is to ask others around you who have been around, right, who seem to have it together, who are solid in the faith. They haven't always been that strong. and their resources to you, to all of us. Maybe that person who is strong in the faith and is somebody who's somebody to look to is maybe a young adult, somebody with a brand new family. And to you, they are where you want to be. Ask them. They've had those struggles too. Talk to them about it. There is a talk show host I've mentioned before, but probably most of you know him, Dave Ramsey. Talks about finances. He says something often. He'll say, do you want to be rich? And he says, do what rich people do. Don't do what everyone else is doing. They're broke. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And there's even a book about just associating with people who are successful and trying to do what they do. And that applies to us as well, spiritually, in this congregation. I also think about in school, sometimes we have it's difficult to pass a class or get through something, and sometimes we have to get a tutor. And this is like the worst thing that I would have to do, and something that I would personally avoid at all costs because I hated to do it. It's embarrassing to say, I need somebody to show me how to do this, to get through this class. It might be embarrassing, and it might be something we hate to do, but sometimes that's what's needed. Sometimes that's what is needed to go get through and take that next step. And we can do that too. We can do that here in the congregation. Again, go to someone and ask them about it. How did that happen? How did they end up where they are? They can help you understand how to be successful spiritually in this life now. So we don't want to be on the wayside spiritually, where we have no protection and are plucked away by the next thing that comes along. The next point, if you want to turn back to Matthew 13, brought out in this parable is some, this is Matthew 13, verse 5, some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, withered away. So we can go down to Matthew 13 and verse 20 and look at the explanation for this part of this of the parable. Matthew 13 and verse 20 says, but he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So it's talking about taking hold of this way of life, but things happen. Things get tough because of what is being spoken of in the Bible, the word. Tribulation or persecution arises because of the word. There's a word called stick-to-itiveness. Maybe you've heard that. Stick-to-itiveness is where you never give up. You're going to push forward and continue on no matter what. There was a speech given. It's very famous, by Winston Churchill before World War II. I'm going to read part of that to you. This was actually read by or quoted by the president of Ukraine with the war that's going on there. So many people know this quote, and I'm sure many of you do as well. But this is what he said in the face of persecution, which was war at that time. He said, I would say to the House, as I said to those who have joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many months of struggle and suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might and with all our strength God can give us. goes on to say, that is our policy. You ask, what is our goal? And give only one, the answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be, for without victory, there is no survival. So no matter what, he's going to persevere. He's going to push on. James 1, verse 12, you don't need to turn there. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We have access to God's Holy Spirit. We talked about that earlier. God's Holy Spirit can help us in life. It's a back and gives us strength. And that can be mentally, physically, spiritually, certainly, as we go through life. And I'm not referring to any kind of blind faith and going forward without any personal effort. We all have to actively overcome. We have our work to do. There are obstacles. God expects us to do our part. And he wants us to develop our mind and abilities that he has given us. It's part of this life. It's part of what we're doing here. But there are times when nothing we can do will solve the problem. There's nothing we can do to overcome certain things. Some are beyond our control, and it is difficult to persevere. I acknowledge that. So we humbly wait for God, and we submit our questions to him, and look for his answers. We grow in faith and character. God answers some of those requests that we have, and some he allows to persist, that we perfect our faith and reliance on him through our trials. But regardless, we persevere. We persevere to the end. And things can be difficult. The part of the parable here says, it refers to the word and following the word, and we'll receive persecution because of God's word and living that way of life. I read a story recently, just a couple weeks ago, about, many of you know him, he was on the Suns, Amari Stoudemire. Now, I don't know anything much about his life besides he played on the Suns and this story that I read here. But I think it brings out a good point. He got a job as a coach for the Brooklyn Nets. And this is something that he said. He said that he'll not be able to return as the assistant coach for the Brooklyn Nets because his Sabbath observance prevents him from committing full time to the team. And this is what he said. I spoke about me not being able to grow in a coaching space because I don't work on the Sabbath, is what Stoudemire said. And so not working on Friday night and Saturdays is difficult for anyone to grow in a coaching space because coaching is such a grind and requires you to be there full time. For me, I wasn't able to grow in that space, so I did not want to continue coaching. On the flip side, the Nets organization wants people who can be there full time, and I totally understand that. We all have difficulties that come up because of our adherence to God's word. That can happen at work, can happen at school, happens with the feast days or the Sabbath. There's some things we cannot do. Paul, he was beaten for following God's word and eventually killed for it. There are those difficulties, and we want to have that spiritual strength, that root that keeps us grounded, that keeps us alive, holding on to that gift that was given to us. But know that God is there and he wants you to succeed. He wants you to see it in this life and the life that goes beyond this life. I want to turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Saying that God is with you when these trials come up. I'll also point out that it'll say that we can't always do it on our own, as I mentioned earlier. And it says that God will make that path for you, whatever his answer is. Sometimes God works it out how we want, and sometimes the answer is no. And that's where it's very difficult for us to deal with, when it's not the answer we want. But we are being warned that things will come up because of what we believe. And we can know that ahead of time and hold on to that gift that was given to us when these situations come up, to have that stick-to-itiveness in our life. The next point, going back to Matthew 13 and the next part of this parable, if you want to turn back there. Matthew 13 and verse 7 says, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And again, we're talking about three places we don't want to be here, and one where we do, which we'll be getting to in just a minute. But some fell among the thorns. Let's look down to Matthew 13 and verse 22, and explains this part of the parable. Matthew 13 and verse 22. It says, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So this is talking about things of the world, the deceitfulness, the riches, the things that we have in life affecting us, chokes the world. The church can choke that from us. The question has come up before, what do we do with our time? What do we do with our time? We have all these things that we have in life. What do we do with our time? Now, even the good things of the world can interfere with us spiritually. We just talked about basketball. Basketball is not a sinful thing, right? But if there's a situation where that prevents you from doing what God says, then it's an issue. We deal with this in work, again, or school. We have all these things in our life. A phone. We all have phones. There's maybe two people in this room that don't have phones, because I know they don't get the announcements. But everyone else has a phone. And I saw this interesting statistic this week. It's a study. It's from Provisional Living. Said that Americans are spending nearly 38 hours a week on their phone. That's 23% of the total hours of a week is spent on a phone. We can all judge ourselves according to that number. Went on to say that most of it is social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Netflix, Pinterest, Snapchat, and browsing. Browsing, I found, unfortunately, a large percentage of that is porn, which accounts for more website traffic than Twitter, Instagram, Netflix, Pinterest, and Zoom combined in the United States. The point of all this is that we're rich in the United States. We have all this stuff that are out there. There's fun, there's good times, entertainment, whatever we want, it's out there. I can't help but think of one of the churches listed in Revelation. I'd like to turn there and read that. I think it helps us look at ourselves and our situation closely. Revelation 3 and verse 14. This is called the lukewarm church. Revelation 3 and verse 14. It says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. It says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. But because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing." And then it goes on to say, And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." I think of this as a perspective from our country. Here, our country is sick. It's sick. I don't think anyone would deny that. There are shootings, drugs, suicide, debt, racism, what constitutes an appropriate relationship, politics. Our country's sick. And people are caught up in the cares of the world. There's all this good stuff to do, and we don't always see it. But we are always at risk of being choked by the thorns. We're at risk because we live in it. We live in the thorns. It's our life. I'm going to turn back to 1 Corinthians 9. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." We can all succeed. We can all be part of God's plan, but not without God in our lives and not without conscious avoidance of these thorns that we live in. Again, the original question was, what would we turn away for? And everything in our society pushes us away from God. All right, let's turn back to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, this is the final point. In verse 8. Matthew 13 and verse 8 says, "Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, and some 30. And we can go down to Matthew 13 and verse 23. And this is where we want to be. This is where we all want to be. Matthew 13, verse 23, it says, "But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, some 30. So what does that look like in our life? What does that look like? We want to be on this good ground. Let's turn over to James 1:27. This is a very often used scripture, James 1, verse 27. So we want to be on that good ground and producing, doing the will of God, having that in our life as our focus. So James 1, verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So it's saying help people who need help and follow God's way. Avoid those things that we are warned to keep ourselves from. Some of those things we've already talked about. That's where we want to be. We all have access to God's Holy Spirit, and we want to be growing. We want to be moving towards God, avoiding some of those things that can make us wither away. We want to be on that solid ground. I want to turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Again, it's not easy. We all have difficulties in this life. And this is just a reminder of that and holding on to God's gifts that he has given us. Matthew 24 and verse 9, it says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And God wants you to succeed. You have been given that gift of the Holy Spirit and can be on that good ground, that good soil, even when we wander off it from time to time. I want to read another final scripture here that gives us hope on this as we look to be on that good ground. Let's turn to Philippians 1. Philippians 1 and verse 6. I refer back to this scripture often. It gives me hope, and I hope it gives you hope as well. This was being said to Timothy and to the Philippian church, and it applies to us. Philippians 1 and verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Saying that something good has been starting in each one of you, and God intends to see that through. Just as it is, and then he goes on to say, just as it is right for me to think of this as you all, to the congregation there, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of me of grace. Again, we have troubles, but we're all partakers of that grace to be on that good ground. At this time, I'll finish up here. I'd like you to remember the gift that you have been given access to God's Holy Spirit, knowledge of his ways, whether you've been baptized for one day or 70 years. These things apply to you. We started with the question, what would pull you away? There are spiritual dangers that we are all susceptible to, every one of us. So focus on being on that good ground, that solid ground. And be determined that absolutely nothing will pull you away. That is where God wants you to be. And he will complete the good work in you. Have a great Sabbath.